maltreated people, sir. God knows I don't mean no harm.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. That's Country Boy by Otis Spann. He passed away on this day in 1970. On our way to our conversation here, I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part. Well, where's my underwriting? And I will read that if I can find out where it went and just disappeared to. I'll do that in a minute because I can't find where I put it. Let me introduce our next guest, who is Carla Woody, who is founder of Kenosha Spirit Keepers, a nonprofit helping to preserve indigenous wisdom cultures, author of the book Portals to the Vision Spirit, Standing Stark and Calling Spirits Home. And good to see you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Mark.
So you're giving this talk coming up at
Breathe Books.
At Breathe Books.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about, first of all, your journey. I mean, it led to this book and led you into my studio in the first place.
Oh, that's a long story.
Well, let me ask you this question then.
Okay.
But I mean, because you have kind of participated in spiritual work of a lot of cultures on this planet.
Right.
And somehow you've come to, not somehow like some mystery, but somehow you've come to a place that kind of pulls from the wisdom of kind of cultures of the earth, whether they be Andean or Hopi or Yoruba or where they come from. Mm-hmm. Speak to that.
Okay. So back in the early 90s, I developed a relationship with a Peruvian teacher named Don Americo Yabar, and that was really my first entry into the native wisdom traditions, working with the Quero people of Peru. And it just kind of unfolded from there. To the Maya people and then Hopi finally and other Native American tribes within the U.S. And so over a period of time, I've developed relationships with people who are spiritual leaders that are actually and healers who are actually serving their communities. And based upon that, I've been doing spiritual travel programs, bringing Western people to be with these folks. And along the way, I really had the draw to develop my nonprofit organization, Kenosha Spirit Keepers, so that I could begin to bring Native people from the U.S., and mostly it's been Hopi, down to be with their relations. So,
what does that mean?
What that means is that they consider them to be their relations. What I didn't know until after the fact was that the migration paths of the Hopi come up from South America. So,
well, there's some controversy about that, but that is one theory that they came from there as opposed to, because the Diné in Canada also speak a very similar language to the folks, the Hopi,
well,
and Navajo.
According to their own creation stories,
right,
they came from South America.
Right.
And so they have things in common, even language. It's been very interesting to me to bring a Hopi elder down and to be with a Quechua man who spoke nothing but Quechua.
And they understood each other.
And they understood each
uh-huh.
other. So
what does it say to you?
Well, what does that say to me? One thing it says to me is that because of what I've seen when these people reconnect is that it gives them spiritual grounding. You know, there are a lot of factions that are acting against the indigenous wisdom traditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things from Western culture, other religions coming in, those kinds of things. And what's happened is that it's pulling people away from the traditions themselves. And when that happens, it seems like they lose grounding. A lot of the worst kinds of things from our own culture comes in, like drugs and alcohol and materialism and so forth.
That's interesting. I'm actually on two levels here. One is from you and one's from what you've discovered with people you've been with.
Mm-hmm.
So because your journey then is the opposite. You're coming from a culture that
right.
is a materialist culture that is full of drugs and alcohol, that does destroy the earth we live on to make money and has created slavery and has created all these other things that have existed in this culture, and you've wandered somewhere else.
I have.
So, right? So, I mean, so take it from that end, then I'm going to come back from the other end.
Okay. Well, what I've discovered for myself and then the people that travel with me is that when we're able to reconnect with the earth, to be in ceremony, to find that still point, it brings a sense of clarity about what's really important. So the things that are not important, as far as I'm concerned, begin to fall away. And so that's where the spiritual grounding come in. And for a lot of the Western people that come on these programs, perhaps it's the first time in their entire lives that they've really felt something of that nature. You know, we've got a lot of input today. You know, a lot of things coming at us, a lot of distractions.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Right.
Here we go. I'm sitting here talking to you, and there's tweeting in one hand, and there's a computer in front of me, and and we're supposed to be talking.
Exactly. Right. I don't know how you do it.
And I don't know how I do it either. And then from the other end, I think this is what I was thinking about as I was reading some of the things that you've done and what your institute does and the spiritual leaders you worked with in South America and in this country as well. I was thinking about some other friends I was talking to that this is happening, I think. There's a move afoot, not just that way, but I've seen this happen with friends of mine here in the African American community, kind of like a deep friend of mine who was a very political leader, now has a business, was married in the Akan tradition of the people that came out of Ghana. And another friend of mine who's now a Santeria priest who came back to the Yoruba tradition in his world, my friend Bob Wisdom. So, I mean, there's from a lot of different angles on this planet, there are people trying to find some other place that we seem to have lost.
That's true. And the fact of the matter is that I used to be involved in corporate America.
Really? What did you do in corporate America?
I worked as a logistician for the government for almost 18 years, and it was not satisfying.
And you
to
walked
me.
Away.
And I walked away, and people thought I was crazy walking away
from money, retirement, and
that,
all the rest,
all
right?
of those things. Right. And I tell you, I have not looked back. Mm-hmm. I have not looked back at all. I could never have had the experiences that I've had, come to the place that I am now, if I had stayed in that environment. It was killing me. And I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced I wouldn't be here today.
What do you mean? You mean in a physical sense? You mean in a spiritual sense? What do you mean?
All of the above. All of the above. You know, I felt as though my creativity wasn't allowed to be present in the way that I wanted. There were just a lot of blocks, you know, and your soul suffers. Your spirituality suffers when things are cut off so much. So truly, that's what I believe my work is all about. It's about people who want to live through their deeply held values. And the native people, in my experience, the sacred threads that they hold about connection to the earth, connection to community, you know, the holistic picture, what matters more? They hold those things, and I think that we have forgotten them. So that's really what our organization and that work is all about, is a remembering process, truly, to get us back to those things that we probably knew in the beginning, but we've gotten distracted from.
At the very least. Mm-hmm. So tell me, how did you end up journeying to South America and the Andes? How did that happen?
Well, as I mentioned in the, I think it was 1994, that I met Don Americo Yabar, who's a Peruvian teacher, spiritual teacher. In 96, I went down there for the first time. You know, those experiences just turned my life upside
down. Is that what brought
down.
You there, or did you find things when you went there on a trip? I mean, how did you end up there?
Yes, I went there on a trip.
Right.
I actually went down there organizing a group. I was asked to do that, working with Don Americo and the Quero people of the Andes. They're descendants of the Inca priest class. They hold the traditions that are most pure there in the Andes, mostly because they were isolated for about 400 years. You know, they live at about 14,500 feet. I'm going there this October, taking a group and taking a Hopi elder with the being sanctioned by his religious leader to go and seek prayers from the Quero people for the continuation of the Hopi traditions because, you know, they're experiencing the same kind of intense pressure, you know. So when we gather in these ceremonies, you know, it's just profound. They lay their prayers down. They have intent for continuation. One Hopi elder some years ago when he met the Quero, he told them that when he prays for rain back in his kiva with his people, he prays for their rain as well, for their cornfields. So it's not just about the individual. This truly is about global community, you know.
It's a very personal question before we have to take a break here, and I'll talk more about your talk coming up tomorrow night, right?
Actually, it's tonight.
It's not
yes.
tomorrow night. It's tonight. It's on my sheet, and I should have seen that first. But I'm curious how you think this in its most deepest form has transformed you. I mean, what, you know what I'm saying? You talked about coming from this world of 18 years and of this bureaucracy and being in the middle of it. And I've known other friends who've walked away mm-hmm. for lots of reasons
right.
and found different paths. Some of them just became truck drivers, but they just had to walk away from that
mm-hmm.
to go do something else
mm-hmm.
and get away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what you think has been the – can you describe for people what is the thing that kind of you feel in yourself has changed the most? What's become of you?
Everything. Absolutely everything. You know, I do what I'm drawn to do, and with that that spiritual intent that's there. So my life looks very different. I live in a wilderness area. I'm in solitude a lot. I go out to work.
Here in America?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually live outside of Prescott, Arizona. Yeah. But I work with people, but I always retreat to that solitude. It's about what's really important. The things that are not important, I pay attention to. And mm-hmm. if I find myself getting hooked, then, you know, I do whatever I can to let that fall away.
This is interesting. I'm glad you came to the studio, and I've been waiting for you to come through Baltimore for a while. we have, and our friends have said you were coming, and so we're looking forward to meeting you and having you here. And Carla Woody would be speaking at Breathe Books tonight.
Tonight.
I'll be very clear about that. Tonight there will also be a benefit concert for Kenosha Spirit Keepers on Saturday. That's what I was thinking
That's
about.
That's right.
April 26th in Rockville, featuring a Native American flute player, Jan Seiden, and drummer Wes Crawford, who will be with you in Rockville, Maryland, the 26th. And do you have a way people can find out about that? Do you have a...
Yes, actually, they can go to the website, which is kenosisspiritkeepers.org.
K-E-N-O-S-I-S, spiritkeepers.org.
Right, and there's an events calendar on that website.
And we'll have that on our website as well. So,
oh, great.
To get people
Excellent.
Over.
Thank you.
Well, I'll see more of you. I know why you're here, so it's good to meet you. Carla Woody, thanks for coming to Baltimore.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
I was fascinated by the things I read about you on the website, so I'm looking forward to learning more.
Thank you.
Good to have you
thanks,
here.
Thanks, Mark.
Reminding you here, as we talk with Carla Woody, that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students. From school funding to Common Core, you can learn about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's one word, MarylandEducators.org. And you can also go to our website, steinershow.org, and see their banner, the Maryland State Education Association. And asking you all, if you're not going down to Rockville, to join me Saturday night at 5 o'clock at the Word of the Play, where we'll have a discussion, a World of Play on race and representation this Saturday night at 5 o'clock at Everyman Theater. By the way, Meet Vera Stark by Lynn Nottage, incredible playwright, is at Everyman now. We saw it last night. Incredible play. You don't want to miss. But every play, we have a discussion built out of the plays happening in Everyman. This particular World of the Play discussion will look at kind of racial stereotypes, the history of what happens in the entertainment industry with communities of color and its effect on the greater culture. And we have an incredible panel that night joining us. So please join us at 5 o'clock. Either come down, show up, get a ticket, or just go to everymantheater.org and join us there. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melchin. Our intern is Alex Boston. You can podcast and hear the show again just by going to steinershow.org and get information about our guests and everything you've heard about in the show today. You can also download and listen to our podcast on iTunes. And you are listening right now to Steve York, Manfred Mann, who do what did he? Born on this day in 1948. The Mark Steiner Show is here every day, Monday through Friday, on WEAA from 9 to 11 a.m. You're listening to WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And I'm Mark Steiner. Enjoy the day. Take care.